mitzvah of Parshas Zohar was very difficult. But it's an area most people have a misunderstanding, simply because it's a kind of thing that we don't spend time really learning too much about, and like we do about Tefillah or Shabbos or Sohn. But we just usually go by the way it's done in shul, and usually have the chazan, the shas announcers, the shabbat morning, the yotzei, parshas zochah, the tzara shemini ka'ona, and that's it. But this whole procedure of the yotzei, the tzara shemini ka'ona, and viewing parshas zochah as a deraisa is not a simple matter. It's not a very simple matter. If you really study the sources, you'll see that there is almost no source for it. Okay, there's almost no source for it. I'll explain to you what I mean by no source. And there's a rough quote of Rav Chaim Brisker saying that there's no source. But without using authority, I'll show you what is meant by there's no source. Okay? The Ramban. Okay? The Ramban says on Zohar, he says like this. So he says, quotes us to three that says there's two things that you shouldn't forget it in your heart, what Amalek did, and then he says also Zohar, that you must enunciate it verbally, Shona B'chicho. Okay, V'chein B'sifri Zohar Shoshuch Amalek B'peh Lo Shishach B'leh. And Ramban says V'lo Yadati Ma Yatzfira Azu B'peh. He says, I don't know what that means to remember it verbally. In Lomar Shenikra Parshas Amalek B'tzibur, if it means that we should read the Parshas Amalek publicly, B'tzibur, then in Tzino Lumidin Min HaTorah B'Shniya Zohar, so it comes out when you B'Shniya Zohar, the Mishnah says that you have to read Parshas Zohar the second one of the weeks. Okay, so he says the Yiyasmach L'Mikra Megillah Min HaTorah. So if that's the case, even Mikra Megillah is Min HaTorah. He says, of course, Mikra Megillah is Mechias Amalek, it's all about Amalek. So the Ramban says, but I don't know, because I don't know if that's what it means. And then he says, V'anachom Be'inai, what I really believe is true, She'umlo mashlo sishkach masha osalon Amalek. That we shouldn't forget what Amalek did to us, that she'nimchas shimom mitach ha'shamayim, so we should destroy him. V'nisapeh zel avoneinu l'dorasenu lomo lehem kach osalonu ha'rasha l'kach nisavinu limchas ha'shamal. By the way, Amalek can be chos v'tshuva, I just want to tell you that. We're talking about Amalek that's not chos v'tshuva. So the mitzvah is to remove Amalek from existence. But the Ramban says, first he starts off, he says, I don't know what the Sechira is. And he says, is it reading Parshas Zohar? He says, but no, I don't think so. He says, I really think it's the ideas that we shouldn't forget what Amalek did to us, and we should remember, and we should enunciate verbally what Amalek did. What exactly this means is very vague. I mean, when you read the first part of Ramban, you feel happy because there's a structure there. But then in the end, he says, what is it? He says, it's similar, he says, to remembering what happened to Miriam. Okay? He says, "Shenestavino bilo v'neinu sapolodera." Stop pishur roy gamastiro. He says, "Truth of the matter is, the Torah should have hid that about Miriam, because shalom adavah b'gedusa shel tzadikim. Because you don't, even though a tzadik does something wrong, the Gemara says tzadik doesn't have era, so he shouldn't think about it because he did tshuva. So why should Miriam definitely did tshuva? So why should we mention this?" So Ramban says, because of the importance of not speaking Lashon Hara, because it creates terrible evil and people are always involved in it and people can't get away from it, so the Torah really went out of its way and the cover and the honor of Miriam was overlooked because of this importance. It's similar to that kind of a message. That's what Ramban says. Okay. That's why Reb Chaim said there's no source. Because if there were a source, the Ramban would have known about it. The sources of Torah Shebal Peh were known to the Rishonim. The Ramban himself does not have it at all as a mitzvah for reading Parshas Zohar. And Rashi on the Gemara Megillah, when he talks about on the Mishnah, especially Medalas, does not mention anything about it when he's talking about when you read the Parsha Zohar. If he held it was the Raisa, he would have definitely said, Kriya Zunga Raisa, but he never said that. So it would seem from the Rishonim, these Rishonim, that it's definitely not the Raisa. It's just an ordinary Kriya. But where do we get the idea that it's the Raisa? Tosfos. Tosfos says that it's the Kriya Zunga Raisa. Okay. So the question is, where did Tosfos, that's why I said when we say there's no source for it, it's not the same thing as saying it's not the Raisa. There could be no source for something, but it could still be the Raisa. How's that possible? No source means there's no overt source for it. But a Rishon can come along and between the lines, dig it out. You say, it's here. You see, that doesn't, there is no source, there's no Gemara on it. But a Rishon could say, no, it was always here, and here's where it is. He could show you where it is. So that's the concept of a source. It's not, if you have no source, it doesn't necessarily mean there's no mitzvah like that. Tosfos agree there's no source, but he found it in the Torah as a mitzvah. And the question is, how did Tosfos find this? But before we get to that, let me just take the Rambam. The mitzvah point to the Rambam. And it's important to know the mitzvah point to the Rambam and the Ramban, by the way, they both agree on the concept. That it's in Hilchas Melachim Perek El Lachaheh. Ram says as follows. He says, "Umitzvah say luska tamid masav haroim barivasa." A person must always remember Amalek's evil deeds and his ambush. Kedela orer evasa. I think what he means is, in order to arouse in ourselves the realization of his hatred. Because he goes on, he says, "Shenema zochar is asher atu l'chol amalek u'pirshmu alamdu zochar b'pelo sishkach b'leiv she'asu l'shkoach evaso v'tanaso." Okay, so it means you must never forget the hatred that Amalek has for us. Okay, but he breaks it down to two components. One is masov, the deeds of Amalek, and the second thing he says is the ambush. What is the significance of these two concepts, the deeds and the ambush? Actually, in the Torah, it's reversed. Because the Torah says, "Asher korcho baderech," means he ambushed you on the road. "Vayizaneh b'chokol nechashol macharach," and that's the deeds. So the Torah, without going into the Midrash, goes into other details of what they did, the horrors that they did. But the Torah just says one thing. This gives you a framework. It says, "Vayizaneh b'chokol nechashol macharach," means they attacked the weak and the sick. So the hatred is such that it's one which is bound with unmitigated cruelty and incompassion. You see, Rashi quotes a Chazal that says that they cut off their they castrated them, they threw them new as the Shemayim. So to show that there's no significance to their practices of Mevah. Which shows cruelty and also the motivation, which means Amalek is a nation that can't tolerate the existence of Klal Yisrael. That's why our Chaim said that Amalek is not necessarily a descendant from Amalek. It's any nation that takes that position, like the Germans did. And that is Amalek, and it's a prototype. So the mitzvah is never to delude yourself into thinking that this type of animosity towards the Jew does not exist. That would be a big mistake. You'd be naive, you'd be foolish to do that. So the Torah insists that we remember that, as crazy as it sounds, there are people that have a crazy kind of hatred, an insane hatred, and will do anything to destroy us. Interesting is Rashi says, "Asher korcho baderech," gives a different shot. He says they cooled off the pot. Because if a pot has boiling water, so everybody's afraid to touch it. But a person puts his hand in, even though he gets hurt. But when he pulls it out, people aren't that afraid anymore. There's a certain there's a reality kind of mitigates the fear. So that's what Amalek did. Amalek came against us, and now people aren't afraid. People weren't afraid anymore to do battle with Klal Yisrael, because there was an aura around Klal Yisrael. If that interpretation is correct, according to Rashi, what it means is that they knew basically that they would be defeated, because you see, that wouldn't be. That's just a result of what they did. They really came to kill us. So what? Why? What does mean? Asher Korcho means it must be an attribute of Amalek. How is it an attribute of Amalek? Asher Korcho. That's just what happened. They really. That wasn't their intention. Their intention was to kill us. According to Napshat and Rashi, they knew they would lose, and they still did it just to remove the aura that Klal Yisrael had as the nation that was led by God out of Egypt. So, and we saw that again in Nazi Germany, where they diluted the war effort and kept the concentration camps going, because the hatred for the Jew is so great that even though it'll mean their own death, but they will still do it in order to destroy the Jew. That's the kind of sick hatred that they have, and the Torah insists that we study this, know this, never forget. Okay. That's Masa Haran. That's the mitzvah. The second thing there is Arivaso, the ambush. What is the ambush? I mean, an ambush is a part of warfare. We use ambush too. We use ambush. So what is special about the concept of ambush? The concept of ambush is that you can have people that hate you and want to destroy you in the worst way, but many times the hatred is so great that they'll just be guided by the hatred, you see. But the Torah is telling you that that's not true by Amalek, because Amalek didn't attack the Jews when they went out of Egypt right away, but they waited to receive them for the ambush, which means that they're calculated and intelligent, and their hatred is subordinated to intellect, and that is the nature of the enemy of Amalek. That is represented in Nazi Germany. The answer is Nazi Germany and Haman is identical. It's a structure and a prototype that the Torah has identified here. And that is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to understand and to know who you are dealing with. That, according to the Rambam, when is this mitzvah? Every opportunity you have. You should never delude yourself. When times a person doesn't want to feel that they have such terrible enemies, people aren't that bad, you want to be a little naive, that's an interpretation. Now I do it. And whenever the opportunity arises to speak about this, you are supposed to. So that's why the shiur on this is a separate mitzvah in itself. Okay. That's the Rambam. That's what the Rambam. The Rambam never had the idea of Parshas Ahav as being the direction. And this is what the Rambam really means. This is the mitzvah for us. So, where did Tosfos get the idea that Parshas Ahav is the direction? I think it's from the Gemara Megillah. Because the Gemara Megillah says that they were hard put to write the Megillah. Esther said, write the Megillah and write it as Kisvei Kodesh. And the Chachamim said that we can't do this. Plain shot, like the result of the Gemara is that Shlomo HaMelech already said that you can't just write Kisvei Kodesh. I mean, the Torah has about Amalek. And the Torah is about Amalek twice in the Torah itself. So it's twice in the Torah and once in Shmuel, once in the Nun. And you can't exceed that. You can't, in our system, exceeding is bad. You have to leave it the way it is. So they told Esther, they said, you can't, you're not allowed to write the Megillah. And Rashi learns that Shalisha means you're only allowed to have three times. And that's once is in B'Shalach, and once is in Kisaytse, and once is in Shmuel. So, the Gemara says, so they were not going to do it, but till they found the pasuk that says, Ksov Zosi Karim Basefer. So they dashed in the pasuk as follows. Ksov means what's written in B'Shalach. Zos, what's written in Kisaytse, in Parsha Zohar. Zikaron is what's written in Shmuel, like what we learned yesterday in Shmuel. And Basefer, that's the Megillah. So So what does this mean? I mean, it sounds like you're just open up a bus and you just find what you want and you just write them and go. What is the concept? The concept, I think, is as follows. Like, Sol Zosikon Basefer is a strange statement. What do you mean, Sol Zosikon Basefer? It's part of the Torah. Of course, it is Master written in the Torah. It's part of the Torah. So, what does the Torah mean when the Torah says, Sol Zosikon Basefer? The Torah meant that the reason why this parsha is written is not like the other parshas in the Torah, but it's because of the nature of Amalek. The nature of Amalek is mechayev us to write this parsha. And that's Sol. Write down the story of Melchemes Amalek. Okay. Second is Zos. Because of the nature of Amalek, we must have a mitzvah and a Pasha Zohar that is written in the Torah. Okay. Zikaron means when the Dvar Hashem, when the Nevuah came to Shmuel to tell Shaul that he should destroy Amalek, that was because of the nature of Amalek, that must be recounted in another. Okay. And then they said Basefer. What does Basefer mean? Sefer means sipur. It means a story. So what it means is when a story comes about in Kol Yisrael that involves Amalek, that also demands that it be written. You see. An event because of the nature of Amalek. So the nature of Amalek is Machayev in the two parshas in the Torah. It's Machayev in recounting the Navi. And it's Mechayev that when an event happens in Kol Yisrael on a grand scale, that this must be recorded as Kisvei HaKadosh. Why? Because of the unusual nature of Amalek. See, Amalek is unusual in two ways. It's unusual because these people have an insane hatred for the Jew, because he represents the one that's chosen by God. And the second thing about Amalek is, interestingly enough, is in the first account of the Shalach, it says, Vayachalosh Yoshua, Samolek, Samolek, Yichor. It doesn't say, he destroyed them. Why didn't he totally wipe them out? Why didn't he destroy them? But he weakened them and let them survive. Rashi says, Mikan Shahi Alpiyat Dibor. That was Alpiyat Dibor. That was the Ashgach of God. God told him what to do. Why? I believe the reason is that Amalek is a mitzvah that's based on a condition. But it's unfortunately guaranteed that until you Yemotzeh Mashiach, that condition is going to prevail. Because of the nature of Amalek. So that's why the event itself, it's a strange mitzvah. Because the mitzvah doesn't stretch its hand out from the Torah to find beyond. That's, the Torah has something different to do, but not in terms of mitzvah. But over here, the mitzvah is based, the very primary mitzvah of Amalek is based on the nature of Amalek. And that's why the Torah says, Basefer wasn't a prediction of the Megillah. Basefer was that if an event occurs on a grand scale that involves Kol Yisrael and Amalek, it must be written out Basefer. And the first time that came along was by Esther. I said, that's why they have to write. So the nature of the mitzvah is based on the phenomenon of Amalek. So the phenomenon generates, when it occurs, it generates a mitzvah. And it generates Kisvei Kodesh. You see? That's why Tosfos, you see. Because that's what Tosfos gets his idea from. See, the Ramban is interesting too, but Ramban says that the mitzvah's parsha is over. And Kriyas Megillah. So what was the mitzvah before? What happened before? Before Mordechai and Esther? Where was the mitzvah then? But the answer is that the mitzvah took on a different form the moment the event took place. Because that's the nature of the mitzvah of Amalek. It's based upon Amalek's existence and his interaction with Kol Yisrael. And that interaction generates a mitzvah. So once the event took place, the Basefer came into being, came into existence, so it was Mechayev and Kisvei Kodesh in the Sefer of Esther, and also the mitzvah of reading Parshat Zohar, heralding the Kriya of the Megillah, and showing the source for it, you see, also became activated. That's how Parshat Zohar coined the Tosfos. Became a mitzvah midrashic. What was it before? It could be, you can't say before it's known, but before it could have been through the process of Kriyas HaTorah Kol HaShana Kula. But the moment the event took place, the event produced, it brought into prominence the institution of Megillah, made it a halachic entity, and therefore the Basefer itself, that's why the Ramban says that according to his chat, the Kriyas HaMegillah also is the rest. Because that's, you're fulfilling the rest of Zohar. The Taisus disagreed with the Ramban. And the reason why Taisus disagreed was that Taisus could not conceive of a mitzvah midaraisa that has a text midaravan. That the text was created, it's true, it's created the Ruach HaKodesh, it's Ruach HaKodesh, it's true. But the institution was mandated by the Ramban. So Taisus could not construe that an entity that's not from the Torah itself should be a text that's not from the Torah itself should be a mitzvah midaraisa. But the Ramban didn't have a problem with it. Ramban maintained that even though it's Kisei Kodesh, Kisei Kodesh is an institution of the Raisa. And Ramban maintained that even Kriyas HaMegillah is actually, he would be, according to his understanding, would be a mitzvah of the Raisa. Of course, he concludes like the Ramban, but that was his first. From the Ramban's first approach, you see Tosfos' approach. Tosfos' approach was really Ramban's approach. Same approach, but Tosfos concluded like Ramban's first approach, whereas Ramban himself concluded like the Ramban's final approach. It's a mitzvah on us to always be wary and always to never to forget and always to verbalize the hatred that Amalek has for us. Okay, we'll stop here. Reuel Chaim Parnas, everybody.